When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, listeners of the Forever Dog Podcast Network. My name is Kelly Nugent.
And my name is Lindsay Katai. And don't worry, we will get to your regularly scheduled podcast that you actually chose to listen to very shortly.
But first, we wanted to tell you about our podcast, Teen Creeps, which is moving to Forever Dog starting Wednesday, January 24th.
On Teen Creeps, we discuss the YA pulp fiction of our awkward youth. We're talking Arl Stein.
We're talking Christopher Pike.
We're talking Caroline B. Cooney.
We're talking Lois Duncan.
So if you like books where there's murder, but there's also a dance?
Or if you like books where maybe your boyfriend is sexy, but he only shows up in the moonlight, and maybe he's a ghost, but are you a ghost? Or is your mom the ghost?
Anybody could be the ghost in these books.
So if that sounds like fun, please subscribe to Teen Creeps for new episodes every Wednesday. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and starting January 24th, the Forever Dog website.
Thanks. And now on with your regularly scheduled podcast.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Because he knows it annoys me to, I think calling is hostile. And
it is like an invasion.
It is.
You're like, whoa, I'm in my space.
Yeah. When I had this big show to go to one time, he called me and I was like, what? Are you okay? What? And he's like, just calling to see how you're doing before the show. And I was like, this is going to be a problem.
You checking on
but
me.
But now he does do it and he knows it bugs me and he does it because he thinks it's funny that it bugs me. Welcome to Tracks in the City.
I was just going to ask.
Oh my God. Backstabbing. Backstabbing bitches of Tracks in the City.
Tracks in the City season two.
That's a new style. You know, one thing I was thinking for season two, like, and we don't have to institute this right away.
Yeah, sure.
But what if we just did it a little looser?
Just kidding.
What if we had the less of a structure and talked less about Star Trek? Our season one.
Our main criticism. Not that we received also, very many.
No, we received like five.
But apparently that was enough to bring us down to a 4.5.
But then we got just back to five for some reason. Self-corrected. But most people, like, four male guests in a row were like, is this show about Star Trek? Do we talk about Star Trek?
And we'd already talked about Star Trek at that point, always.
Yeah, but they just, like, are wondering when we're going to get
like
into the
it's
thing.
A total, it's like a study, it's like an anthropological study because they're like, we figured out so much about men just from why, when men choose to ask if this show is about Star Trek.
pretty quickly into being a guest.
So we're talking to our guest who is being silent and patient.
She's
right
good
now, some, and like, she is unable to really respond.
Most dudes kind of just like talk right away. They introduce us,
except I'm for it's, yeah, they do. Yeah,
yeah, they just take over and
doing this wrong.
Yeah, do the dude thing.
No one do the dude thing. Dude things do the women thing.
Dude things do the women thing. Season two, we don't talk about anything. Goodbye. We're learned. Thanks for listening,
wow,
guys.
Two songs in
we
one.
We never introduce you. And we just cut it out.
We don't talk about Star Trek and don't introduce
Thanks for driving out here, though. For
don't
sure.
worry. I'm going to
I love
make sure
this
that...
woman with all my my patient heart.
Your patient heart?
I got to know her. Oh we became God. Friends, very close friends on our journey together. in Hawaii for 3 months.
You were in Hawaii for 3 months?
We got to know each other very well. Right. And we were both in the movie Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
I want to do that. I want to be in that movie.
I know. That'd be amazing. I wish you could do it.
I want to do that.
They're still auditioning, weirdly.
Okay, cool.
But she played the role of Becky, the maid of honor. She did so well. And she's in a million other things of which you can talk about, whichever things you want me to plug. You can see her on Veep. She's part of the improv group. No, not Veep. Okay. She's saying no. Improv group Wild Horses, which, you know, there's controversy there. please welcome Mary Holland.
Hi.
Finally. You're free.
I can speak.
You're free to speak.
You're
true.
You're so respectful. A respectful guest.
Oh, my goodness.
If there ever was one.
Well, listen, I respect you both very much. Thank you. Your patient hearts.
We like. Makes it seem like you try me nuts.
I love her with all of my patient heart.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I love that. I'm sorry. I'm into my robot mode.
She's in robot. This is her. This is like pre-hike Veronica right now.
Pre-hike. I'm like.
But it's you're like Data.
It's a mental hike.
I love that. Okay, there you go. Episode. I am a little bit like Data. Yesterday they were like, you do seem raised by Vulcans sometimes.
Yeah,
because I'm like, that is inappropriate and I don't like it. Ooh. I like you, however.
I love it.
And then it's like, what?
Please, what? America, put her on a show.
I like, thank you. America, yeah, please, America.
I want you to be a Vulcan.
Oh my God.
So
I do too. So bad. I think I would be good at it.
I would cry a lot.
I watched Phantom Threat yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Phantom Threat.
Phantom Threat.
We all watch Phantom Threat.
Okay.
Was it
I watched Phantom Threat yesterday and it was great.
So good.
But I don't know. I was that dude sometimes. When he's like, like the woman would be like, this is happening. And he'd be like, what do I do with that information?
Right.
And I'm like, I am a little bit like that.
You relate to that.
Yeah,
Isn't there a Star Trek TV show happening right now?
Yes.
I thought you meant
that's it.
This one.
Isn't there a Star Trek The Next Generation TV show?
We got a runaway.
Isn't there something about...
Yeah, it's called Discovery.
Yes.
And it's on CBS All Access, which is a great deal if you want to pay $79 a month.
I pay $5 a month.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I pay $5.
I pay at least $80 a month.
How did you get into that?
A man comes to my door and he says, I'm from CBS.
Oh,
you know who I am.
If someone...
Give me my $80 again.
No one's from CBS. If anyone says I'm from CBS, don't trust them.
That's true.
I mean, he seemed like he had a CBS shirt on, or maybe it
was
ABC.
Oh, okay, then he is
from
CBS.
You need to stop giving that man money.
It was an ABC shirt, but if you arrange the letters... Oh, no, it's still not the same letters. No, it's $80 a year. And you still get commercials.
Oh, you do them yearly. But it's kind of, 12 times 5, you do that math. It's like 60.
Yeah. And I don't.
So I do like 60 a month. 60 a month. No, 60 a year. Sorry. No. It's,
yeah.
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 So how do you
still
pay 80?
Expensive.
Usually yearly rates are like way less money, right? Like if you pay for a full year, like it's a discount.
You looked like you just got caught doing something bad, but you didn't do anything bad. You're paying more than all of us.
You're like,
like you're guilty.
It is the ultimate embarrassment to be like the fool who pays more. I'm sorry.
It's the ultimate. It's probably the most humiliating
thing. It is the most humiliating.
It's incredibly
shameful. It is the ultimate embarrassment to be the fool who pays more. You know what I said? That's very harsh.
It's the ultimate.
It is.
It really is. Because if you're the fool who pays more, then you should just leave the town. Leave the town, whatever town you're in. Because it's
I'm dying.
If you were,
I am the fool.
If you were what? Found the fool.
Found
you know,
the
sometimes
fool.
Paying, I'll say this. Sometimes paying a little more for things makes you feel differently about them. Do you ever have this experience where you're in a store and you see something for like $80 or something and you're like, depending on what it is, you know, oh, perfume, okay, maybe kind of expensive. And then you see it for like $60 and you're like, that seems too much. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever had that where it's like a lower price?
It is weird.
Crazier?
Yep. I have experienced that.
Yeah, I guess because you're at a...
Like,
money
like
is
there's
emotional.
It's like
it's
there's
weird.
Brackets in your emotional relationship to money where like a certain amount just seems like an expensive item and then certain amount is luxury. And you're then, like, oh, that's a splurge that I'm willing to make. And then right. if it's $60, like, that's too much for that.
Right.
You know, that's yeah. $60.
Yeah, I like Nicole Byers. She's always like, when we were in New York together, she's like, I never pay. She'd be like, how much was that? And I was like, 15 for like Forever 21 dress. Mm-hmm. She'd be mm-hmm. like, I never pay more than 10 for a dress. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was our limit.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
But then like, yeah, a perfume, I'm like, $200. Okay, let's think about mm-hmm. this. Instead right. of like being like, no, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I don't know why certain items.
Because
are
it
like,
gives you a dopamine hit to buy something at a certain like price like point. Certain. Yeah, certain things, depending on what they mean to you, like purchase or whatever, if it's like, is it validating your success or whatever? It's like, that'll give you a rush of some kind or another. I've studied this because I have a problem.
I like discounts the most.
I know, yeah.
I like price matches.
I like being the fool who pays more.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned price matching before. And I've never done such a thing.
Because I started dating someone who reads fees and like percentages and like the small
print. For fun?
I don't know why. I don't know why they do that. They're like, he just knows like percentages.
Right.
And I was like so turned on by the fact that like fees are red. Like he knows like, mm-hmm. he's like, yeah, like Amazon will give you, if you go to Best Buy, they'll give you a price match. So if you find it cheaper online. And then I realized that I can scan any barcode into my phone and find the cheaper price and then take it to the register and be like, this is cheaper here. And then they lower it. So if I'm at the store, I don't have to wait and go home and or order it online and then get it separately. I can just get it there at the price that I'm seeing at the phone.
Makes so much sense.
And that made me so like, me, like suburbanly pumped, like weirdly, like, I don't know, so like it's a rush.
Veronica is converting to Judaism.
Yeah.
And now I feel like it makes even more sense that you're like, you're turned on by
more
like
the
price,
stereotype.
Price. Yeah, it is a stereotype, but like
almost
like a man who like knows where to get like taken off fees and stuff
how
like
to
that.
Do
and
the
you're
money.
Like turned on by that.
I really That's appreciate funny. It. Like the InstaPics, I bought a pack of 100 photos.
Yeah.
And he's like, how do you determine like what to take a photo of? Like it's so like precious, right? Mm-hmm. It's like that. Mm-hmm. That's the one photo. And then I'm like, well, I'm like, what's worth 75 cents? Because mm-hmm. that's about the price that each photo costs.
Right.
And I never been so like money about like art or like stuff like that. But it just makes sense. It's better for me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. Maybe it's the Judaism, but I doubt it.
Well, no, I think
there's no mention of money in that. Well, yeah.
Well, no, but there's like it's a cultural thing where like somebody was talking about how like
it is an
Jewish culture
thing.
Has been so persecuted in so many cultures that it's existed in that they had to like create industry out of very little so many times.
Yeah.
And so there was like a lot of economy in that. And then they became good at the economy parts of it. And then people make fun of Jews for being good at it. It's like, well, for thousands of years, like you wouldn't let us have anything.
Right,
so
right, right.
We had to get good at this.
Right.
Well, it started in medieval times where Inquisition started. So, like, no one who was Catholic or Roman was, like, money was dirty. Taxes, like, all of the money was dirty.
Yeah.
So, and Jews were considered, like, lower class. So, it was, like, something no one wanted to do and some people who are lower class. So, clearly, like, they were, like, the only job we're going to let you do in this country is that. The tax collectors.
I see.
Or, like, when you borrow money and you need, like, those interests, like, monthly rates, like, Jews would knock on doors and like collect the money.
Wow.
So they became really financially literate and that has been inherited throughout generations because they did it for centuries.
Yeah.
And then they were like, the Inquisition was suspicious that they knew so much about money. Like 200 years later they were like, wait a second, what? And the Jews were like, it's the only thing we've been allowed to do. Like, it's the only way we can survive.
Yeah.
Right. And same with the movie industry. At the beginning, no one really wanted to do it because it was like a lot of efforts. Those lights were like really hot. It was a lot of transpo. Like, they came out here to the desert. It was like, it was hard. And no one knew that it was going to actually succeed. So all of the movie studios, except one, are Jewish founded. Amazing. It was just like the job no one really wanted to do, but maybe there was something there.
Amazing.
So that's how it's happened. So maybe I am inheriting a little bit of that.
The
maybe.
Pragmatism of it, actually.
Yeah, it is very kind of practical in like alluring. Survival mode.
Yeah.
So I admire that. I like that. Well,
welcome to Treks in the City.
Welcome to Treks in the City.
We're just doing you know, doing our best to stay on topic for the fans. We want to ask you, Mary.
Season two, what your
history is with the show of Star Trek. Do you have any relationship to it whatsoever? Is this your first episode you've watched? I'm not done asking the question. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
There are no wrong answers, by the way.
This is probably the first episode I've watched start to finish. I've seen little clips of it.
Mm-hmm. You knew it existed.
Knew it existed. Was mm-hmm. very aware of it. But my boyfriend is a big fan, and he has watched all of them, and he was so excited when I said I have to watch an episode.
Oh, did he watch it with
you? Yeah.
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 What was he doing? Was he participant? Was he like...
Yeah, he was sort of filling me in on, oh, this is Commander Riker.
And I love that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Like, this is Deanna Troi, and she's like... Her mom was an alien, and so she can like read people's feelings, but the alien race she comes from can read people's thoughts, but she's like not.
She's half.
She's half.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It was pretty cute.
That's pretty nice. Was he like kind of like dorking out?
Yeah.
I like a good dork.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, let's just say it was repulsive.
Okay.
No.
Wow.
No, I love it.
Were you like, oh, this is cute.
I'm going to have to go outside the relationship sexually, if you understand, after this.
Go outside the relationship.
We're going to have to open this up just because I'm not able to touch you that way.
Keep this loose.
This was an interesting first episode.
Yeah,
it was
very interesting.
A lot going on.
What were your like first impressions as you were watching, besides what your boyfriend maybe was telling you? Like
a man explaining to you what you should feel.
Oh! Well, he did ask me. He asked me after we watched it. He was like, he was so excited about this. Yeah. You guys should have him on. But he was like, so
kidding.
Just okay. And he's like, so what are you going to say about the episode? Like what, like when they ask you, like, what's the episode
he
about?
He trained
what
you. I love that.
And I was like, some star got a woman pregnant. Yeah. A star went up a lady's spark. Why is she sleeping in a sparkly dress?
I know.
I had a lot of questions. And also
that was like snakeskin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought it was like a sequin dress. Like she fell asleep after a party or something.
No one ever parties.
She's drunk.
She got drunk pregnant.
But also like there were so many things that I was like. Like the guy with the. Geordi.
Yeah.
Yes, Geordi LaForge. He's walking around with that thing over his eyes, and I was like, he can't see through that. Like, what is
this? The actor actually can't.
And you can tell. Like, and I was like, why has he got that on? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. It is a visor.
It is a visor.
So he
enables him to see.
Yes.
And Matt explained that.
He said he was born legally blind and this enables him to see.
It's like,
is that right?
The sequel from Legally Blonde.
I like using the word legally blind to describe somebody in the starch in the 24th century.
Legally.
I can't drive my own
legal documents?
Yes, I do. I can't see. I'll just hit a star.
Right.
It was a notarized. What do you call it?
Notarized.
Notarized. Public. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A public notary notarized it.
Yeah.
Space Legal notary. One. So.
Yeah. But it was kooky.
It was a kooky
app.
And it was particularly.
I would say I mean, we just finished a whole first season, and the first season was of this show. Pretty low budge, you know. They definitely like had a lot of like, we're going down to the planet, and then they go down, and it was like, it's okay. It's
low
a
budget thoughts.
It's a backdrop with some rocks.
I see, yeah.
And I feel like this is sort of them. The first scene when they open up they like do the wide angle on the like dock, the bay.
Oh, they had a little bit more budget.
Didn't I feel like it's like
we have season two, new graphics. There's a new Enterprise like angle that they've afforded to render. They afforded to render this space had never existed before. That like
and these like shuttle camera pans. There's just like
But somehow the makeup failed. The budget for the makeup was like, oh no.
I think that maybe that was just
there was some like sweatiness out here.
Yeah.
And some grain in every cheek.
Some upper lip. Sweatiness.
Some like grain.
Well, everybody.
Some like metallic grain. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah.
Some granular.
It was granular. Yeah.
So everyone usually has questions about Data. yeah. when they see this show for the first time. We actually yeah. have a lot of guests on this show that are newcomers to Star Trek because
yeah.
The, which is the so fun. Mission of this show is to be like sort of an introductory for fans that might not have thought they would be into Star Trek because we don't look like the general, you know, like we're both women, we're like really hot. We don't, you know, we don't look like the normal nerd, like world stereotypical, like, sure. you know, Trekkie, whatever. So we're doing this show for like the rest of the fan base because it exists and also it could expand from here because it's the show itself is very diverse and it's meant to be kind of utopian in a way and it's unlike a lot of other, I think, space shows, even if you are already, you know, prone to liking those types of things. Anyway, yeah. So everybody usually notices Data. They're usually like having a lot of questions about him. And in this episode, it's pretty explicit what Data is. It feels like a reintroduction of the character of an android because of Dr. Pulaski being
yeah
so hostile towards him.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Because when we watched with Paul F. Tompkins, he said he didn't like Pulaski because she was so mean to Data.
Right.
Yeah.
She was very dismissive of him. Like, I remember that one exchange of where he's like, she calls him Data.
Yeah.
And he's like,
That's not my name. Yeah.
And she's like, sort of like, it has emotional,
yeah.
you know, it has emotional connections. like sort of observing it academically, like, oh, it feels like, I thought that was so
she's rude. Like, you don't want a metallic touch. And it's like, I think he pretty much feels like skin.
She's having yeah. a baby. She doesn't want like a cold metallic technology on her.
It's yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah, and her hair.
It feels like she had some weird experience with a droid or something and that she,
right.
you know, has some sort of trauma surrounding it. Because here's...
It feels like my grandma dealing with a robot.
Or a cell phone.
It's so weird. It's like this person wasn't in space, like wasn't around when like all of this technology got developed, but she's from that time period.
Yeah. But so I also like, feel like it's not human yeah. nature. Human nature is essentially if there's something has two eyes and a nose on it, no matter what it is, you could draw a little smiley face on a coffee cup and people are like, aw. Like you don't have a necessarily like, you don't have like a... You're a robot reaction to things that are
yeah
human seeming.
Are people you know? There are people now who have like conversations with
full conversations
Alexa or like
but like if especially if it appears humanoid like yes. if it has like a face and it or it moves around or whatever and it's like hello I'm a robot people are like oh hey look at you so like nobody would look at Data and be like I'm sorry I see a toaster that's not a real thing
right
like they would have a reaction to him relating to them. If Data came up to you and started like talking to you,
would you be like, oh, you metallic chunk of...
Yeah, it just wouldn't...
I wouldn't say that to anyone, even if I thought it.
Even if you thought
that. Even if I thought it, I would never say
that. What if I changed my name to metallic
chunk? And I would say it behind your back. Oh, sure, okay. I'd go to my friends and be like, this metallic chunk came up to me and said hello.
Oh, I know. I think I know who you're talking about, but do you want to write it down? But
I feel like if I saw someone like Data, I'd be like, oh, hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's pretty cute. He's pretty, like, yeah. he seems very sweet.
Yeah.
Like, he's really sweet and eager to, like, understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as he should be.
As he should be.
And that's how he stays.
You know?
But that, to me, rang, like, I get that they're trying to establish that she's some sort of, like, sorry, I don't really mess with robots, but, like, it doesn't track with my understanding of what human nature is. So, right. That's Alice for the defense.
But doesn't track as human nature either, is everyone's reaction to this entire thing.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yes. That's it's a really so good point.
True. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had the same thought.
Like, what? Like, what are everyone, what is, like, I'd be like, you're going into quarantine and
I know.
We're going to figure this shit out. And this baby is not a baby and he can't be in your quarters.
Let's watch this is the like scene crazy. In the conference room because that may be the pivotal.
And Riker's like, who got you pregnant?
Also, yeah, I love that that conversation happened because he's like,
Veronica really likes Riker, so let's get that out.
And there. I love that he was jealous. Like, and
you
then,
like that.
So she gets pregnant in the middle of the night. Just so you know, Troy gets pregnant in the middle of the night by some kind of light. And then she wakes up.
A surprise.
And the baby is rapidly growing.
More so for me. This pregnancy is unlike anything I've ever encountered. Since she came to me a few hours ago, I have done two complete examinations.
Why is she sitting so far away from everyone?
I don't know. Like,
is it because she's pregnant?
The audiovisual language of it is...
The fetus is about she halfway through
so far
the
away.
She can contaminate them or something, maybe.
Now, oh, maybe.
Understand, we believe that conception took place 11 hours ago.
She's such a good actress. I mean,
it's better.
Troy, Marina.
This is the second exam 1 hour later. Now, it's consistent, except for the fact that it appears that the fetus is several weeks older. At this growth rate, Counselor Troy will have her baby in about 36 hours. The normal gestation rate for a betazoid is 10 months.
A babazoid.
But who's the father?
Exactly. That's what I mean. Imzadi.
Last night, while I slept, something which I can only describe as a presence entered my body.
And everybody's freaked out.
So everyone's like, what? But also, like, they all start discussing what to do with the baby. And I love that kind of montage of, like, everyone just talking about what the woman's going to do with this baby. And she's just like,
she's silent.
Echoes.
Yeah.
Like, it's very 2018.
Yeah.
It's very 2017.
That's interesting that you read
That's
that
fascinating.
Way.
What? Because it's like, what are all these dudes talking about? And she finally makes a decision and she's like, this is what I'm going to do. But they're like, we should terminate it. We should examine it. We should do this. And it's like all these like dudes' voices talking about what she's going to do with her, with this. And it's, I was like, cool.
That's it's true, the government. But I also, well, maybe to add on to this, that they're even discussing it openly in a conference room is crazy.
Yep.
She's sitting all weirdly by herself, like you pointed out, and she's like clearly upset and ashamed and doesn't know what to do. And everybody's sitting around going, so what the fuck's going on here? And she's like,
And they're like, we should terminate it. We should do this. We should examine it. We should take it right away. And she's like, yeah, it just like goes, but I don't know. I did like that point.
And how is it any of their business if she's pregnant or not?
Like, well, it's because it could be a potential threat.
Yeah, if she's been like body snatched or you
but
know,
even further
impregnated by some sort of alien entity that has you know malintent.
But even so that is already like invasive within the universe. But outside the universe, the problem is a little more general, which is what I wanted to point out is. In 2011, I saw this video about tropes in sci-fi and like video games, and it's about the mystical pregnancy.
Okay,
and it's from this YouTube channel called Feminist Frequency.
Woohoo!
So I'm just gonna play a little bit of it because she's one of my favorite people.
One thing I love about speculative fiction is its ability to explore difficult topics. Because of its separation from our current time frame, it can comment on socioeconomic and cultural issues in really engaging and interesting ways. But one thing that I've learned from watching a lot of science fiction and fantasy television is you never, ever want to get pregnant on TV. Some of our most celebrated female characters come out of the sci-fi genre, but it's not all sunshine and roses. It's common practice for Hollywood writers to have their female characters become pregnant at some point in their TV series. These storylines are almost always built around women who have their ovaries harvested by aliens, who serve as human incubators for demon spawn.
Oh yeah.
Basically, the characters are reduced to their biological functions. I'm sure you've seen this trope many times before. Remember back in the mid-90s on The X-Files when FBI agent Dana Scully found herself abducted and forcibly impregnated?
Ugh.
Which, of course, later culminated in a hybrid human-alien child.
Yeah.
More recently, on the second season, Deanna Troi from Star Trek The Next Generation is perhaps the quintessential example of the mystical impregnation trope, as her character's body and mind are regularly occupied, borrowed, violated, and invaded by alien beings. During season 2, in the episode The Child, Counselor Troi is impregnated with a rapidly aging alien fetus by a flying ball of space energy. Imagine finding out you're pregnant, giving birth 36 hours later, raising the child within a day, and then it dies, or in this case, vanishes. We don't see Troi dealing with the long-term emotional ramifications of such a traumatic event, and the experience is never mentioned again throughout the series. And my apologies in advance to my more religious viewers, because we really can't forget the original mystical pregnancy narrative, the Immaculate Conception. As the story goes, an all-powerful being descended from the heavens and impregnated a young woman with the Chosen One destined to save Earth and the souls of humanity. Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Yep. It's almost an unwritten rule that at some point during a sci-fi or fantasy television show, the writers will inseminate their female leads with some sort of ghastly pregnancy experience. The mystical pregnancy is one of the plot devices that I loathe the most, because while other tropes represent women in stereotypical ways, this one hits us on a biological level. Yes, some of us are physically capable of having babies, but no, that does not mean you get to take advantage of and abuse that for the sake of your story. Fanvitter Laura Shapiro calls the mystical pregnancy a type of reproductive terrorism because it makes becoming pregnant seem disgusting, frightening, and nightmarish. Laura goes on to say, "The problem, from my point of view, is that pregnancy and birth are natural processes that are being distorted into torture porn, ways of punishing women, and exploiting their terror to up the dramatic stakes."
Whoa.
This trope can't...
So, like, you could... There's three more minutes of this, and I could listen to all of it, yeah, but I was like... This video stayed with me for years. Like, I've been thinking about this, and then I watched Prometheus, and she has to, like... She gets impregnated by an alien and cuts herself open and kind of like takes it out of her. And that's like one of the most badass scenes I've seen. But also it's like, why is she in that position in the first place?
Yeah. And it seems to me to be, it speaks to the sort of like the prevalence of male writing in a male perspective, that there's so many plot lines with a mystical pregnancy because it's sort of, we see it's sorry, I'm really inarticulate right now, but it's,
you're absorbing a lot.
I'm pregnant with a lot of opinions right now. it sort of displays the male fascination with the biological function that they're not capable of.
Yep.
And then they don't see that as, because they're not capable of it, there's like this jealousy, you know, sort of like internal jealousy about it. And they have to...
An urge to manipulate that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they want to...
control it in their own way.
What you
said. It's fascinating. Like... The mystical bit, like I can think of so many movies and TV shows that have that, but I didn't even consider, even for a moment, until she brought it up, that Jesus Christ was a mystical pregnancy.
Right.
Like it, and if you think about it in like the context of like Hollywood, it's like, oh, okay, male writers like thinking, oh, this is a cool, like whatever, we can sort of, use this.
Reduce women to their biological function.
Exactly.
Right.
And then you think, well, wait a minute. Isn't that what that?
It's the
male writers
story.
Of that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
That, you know,
the
whatever.
Original mythical,
exactly
mythical Inception. Entertainment piece. But
it's,
I think that with the story of Mary, I mean, the way that I've been exposed
Mary
to
Mary Holland,
it, the story of Mary Holland.
Our guest, she's right in front of us. Her story.
Let her hear. Thank God. Thank Jesus. God. Thank Moses and Jesus and God. But the way that Mary was treated. By Joseph, I recently watched The Star, which is a movie about the Nativity. It's like a Christmas animated movie about the Nativity.
Okay.
And I'm not going to use that as my like one reference point about the Immaculate Conception, but you know, I think there's part of that story is Joseph being like, I don't know where I fit into this, and you know, she gets accused of cheating or whatever.
Right.
But
whoa.
But then it does, I think at least in Catholicism, like Mary has a really central role in the religion. Not to say that it's matriarchal, it's definitely a patriarchal religion, but there is an element of like her being more powerful and having agency and being this like capable part of the story. And I don't really, and then I don't see that in a lot of these other mystical pregnancy stories, which I don't know. I just wanted to point it out because I feel like it's like, even in the original telling of it, it was better than what we've got left, which is, this is ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
What Troy goes through.
In general, I feel like the accounts of the Bible, if you take them like very literally, it's like, Eve is bad, like she's a snake, and then Mary's just a vehicle for...
She's a virgin.
Yeah,
she's a virgin.
Otherwise, it can't.
Otherwise,
if she's had a penis in her, she can't
yeah,
be
then
like,
she couldn't
she's
be,
not good enough.
Yeah, yeah, she's not a holy vessel.
And then she is just a vessel. It is what it is. I mean, that's what the figure of Virgin Mary is. And then Magdalene is not a lover that he had. Like, Jesus was a Jew. Even if he was a rabbi, he would have been married or like had... relationships, you know, like sexual relations, but instead this is like the whore. And so it's like every woman in the Bible that's in the I think Christian accounts is more like this, like just around the men.
Yeah
yeah
and it tends to happen.
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime!
Of course, in fantasy shows and sci-fi in general, like if that's the main story that we're hearing since we were little, of course, it happens in our stories for entertainment. Of course, it translates. It's the same. Like, we're just, like, recreating what we know or
and
what we've
so
been taught.
It's so irresponsible because of exactly what she said, that it gives women the idea that pregnancy is, like, scary.
And something
disgusting.
To be feared.
Right. Yeah. Like, look what can, like...
Why don't they ever do, like, balls that are possessed and they're, like, shooting some shit?
Yeah, balls.
Like possessed green balls. Shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like
gonorrhea. Yeah.
It also supports the idea that the woman's body is a mysterious place that is, in a lot of ways, a ticking time bomb of danger. So, you know, like,
it's really
we don't
negative.
Get the woman's...
What, it is yeah. so negative.
It's so negative.
And I versus, think, like, it being, like, whoa, you're the closest to Mother Earth that there is. Like, you put a seed on the ground and then, like, Earth turns it into this tree or this plant gives us fruit. It's, like, this magical, almost, like, mystical, natural thing that Earth does.
It should be celebrated.
And the females of each, like, species have that ability.
Yeah.
Like we're cousins to Earth in a way.
And it there is that desire to control it or contain it or make it make sense for men. Like where it's like,
which is like, why? Why don't you just be around it and like experience it and like connect
with
it?
Because they're in charge of writing the stories and because they're in charge and have been in charge of writing the stories, they think that they should be and they think that's the right thing. So they're like, they're grappling with it and they think that the default narrative is human narrative is to grapple with these things because men are in charge of writing the stories. Men believe they're the default storytellers. Their perspective is the default. So they believe that this is a vital and important thing to talk about is like, what's with women's bodies? You know what I mean? Like everybody's
aren't
got
they terrifying how they can suddenly give birth to an alien?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, dude.
Nah, dude.
We
love it, dude.
Nah, chill, dude.
I fucking love it. I'll give birth to like 10 aliens a day, dude.
Chill as hell, dude.
Depending on how fast they grow, dude. I can fucking do like.
Dude, watch this.
Dude, fucking, I'm doing it now. Here it is.
I'm growing a baby.
It's like
now.
A baby. It's like, ah. All right. I just flew away.
I guess we are like, it is a mystery machine. The approach of it is so, it's so negative. And also I hate it because Troy is such a, I always say this and I defend this character so much because it's one of the most hated characters in Star Trek TNG because she says so many obvious things or she like her plot lines are so stupid sometimes and so many fans are like ugh, and it's like no, one second, she's not just like a character that popped and was like I am like this, some writers wrote it and there's a reason why this is like this.
But here I actually, through what you're saying in this episode, I'm starting to realize there's another level of, and I think this is true of Wesley as well, the Wesley hate, that
Wesley
people
hate
something that is a defenseless. Like the fact that Troy is so violated and used, and so that there's an inherent like guilt that is a subconscious reaction to watching a human being be utterly degraded over the course of seasons, that your reaction is to hate it. Your reaction is because, like, you can't help it. You have to hate it. You know what I mean?
We had someone like that in a Moxie.
It's like
once.
It's like our lizard brain.
We all, like, it was,
totally.
Like, easy
no,
to
totally.
Bully because she would get so affected. And so it was easy to hate. And we all fell for that. And it
and
sucked.
It's because it's,
it actually
God.
Sucked. I mean, I did not personally like this person at all. But it was like this like self-fulfilling prophecy that became this like crazy cycle. Mm. And it was like, once you see like that weak thing, it's kind of like the experiment. Did you ever watch that movie?
Mm-mm.
Well, there was an actual experiment where like the German movie where they take like 12 guys or whatever, and they had, I don't know the number, but they had six of them be prisoners mm-hmm. and six of them be like prison guards.
Oh, this is the...
And the guards slowly become yeah. like
it wasn't psychos. German, though. It was at like Harvard or something.
But the movie was German.
Yeah, that... It might have been exploring that same concept, but in a yeah. different thing. But there was like a famous like...
The study.
It was like Stanford.
The power of like addiction to power and like what...
Yeah.
And same like with Marina Abramovic when she did that art. She just like stood naked in right. a, and put 33 objects on a table or I'm just coming up with numbers
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah.
And really? They were like feathers, guns, like they were soft things, nice things like food, makeup, who knows. And she got like held at gunpoint. She got aimed. She got stabbed. She got poked. She got right. pinched. She got like she just like wanted everyone to just she could have died right there. And then and that was part of the art experiment, like. How people react to the fact that someone is like completely defenseless
vulnerable
and, like,
yeah.
yeah yeah
and they have the power to just
it is infuriating that. If you it is infuriating to like I can think of you know examples of like characters in movies or people in life where I'm like
like don't be so dumb
yeah
it's like it's you and your don't hopeful be so eyes weak. For me
And
it's like her hopeful eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to have a patient heart. So with that, we do have to go to break.
We do have to go to break. I'm sorry, Brent. You told me.
We'll come back and talk more about Star Trek, The Next Generation, which is the only thing we ever talk about yeah. on the show.
They started a podcast, but death subscribed.
Teen Creeps, coming to the Forever Dog Network starting Wednesday, January 24th.
Lindsay Kaitai and Kelly Nugent are two ordinary girls. You wouldn't normally even know they existed. They have brown hair, so that means they're not the main characters, but they're probably witches.
All they wanted to do was have a podcast, but somebody keeps murdering all the cheerleaders.
All they wanted to do was sit and talk about the books of their awkward neon youth, but... The ghost of one of their twins kept jumping from each of their bodies and possessing them, so then they couldn't do it.
It was too confusing.
And scary.
And spooky. And dumb.
And now, for a preview of what you can expect to hear through your ears if you listen to our podcast.
This cover's
just
funny.
Because they're... Oh, it is funny. Do you want to describe it?
This girl's doing splits on top of a grave.
With a little flat, with, and the grave says fear, just yeah. some giant letters. And then there's a little flag that says, go team.
I mean, I just wouldn't want to put my crotch
on a grave.
On a grave.
But you're an evil spirit.
That's true.
You don't care.
Were you putting your crotch on a grave?
Put that crotch on the grave.
You might be.
You might be an evil spirit.
So if you enjoyed that, you can continue the adventure by subscribing.
Do so at your own risk.
On Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify,
and the Forever Dog website.
We're having our same guest as before the break, which is a new thing for us.
what? We didn't swap what? You out.
Swap me out.
But we couldn't get... Usually we have somebody else who it come in and forcibly remove the first guest.
No, we don't.
Ew.
Yeah. It's just a way to represent just what women have to go through, you know.
Sure. Are we back? Oh my God, we have headphones.
We have headphones. The first part of this show, guys, we didn't have any headphones. And it was sort of like an experiment that Brett was doing on us and on himself to see if he could handle the shame.
He could not.
He's been softly weeping the entire time, and that's why the headphones weren't working. So we figured it out. Too many tears. So there is also, I'd like to point out, a lot of other things going on this episode besides this fucked up pregnancy.
They're very new bunch of things.
There's
a new bunch of things.
And in the beginning of the episode, we're sort of given an idea of why. Dr. Crusher isn't around. At first it's introduced that she's not around anymore, and then finally we're given a
not
reason.
Through death. Not through death.
She has not died.
She's clearly alive.
She's been promoted to the head of Starfleet Medical, mm-hmm. which is strange considering she's never understood any of the diseases.
And is she on the ship? She's not on the ship.
She's not on the ship. That means she's probably at a star base or on Earth, where the main Starfleet headquarters are in San Francisco.
But her son...
Is great, the food's good.
Is on...
Food's great.
Her son is still there, though, and they're about to take him back home.
Yeah, so he can be with his moms.
Right.
You know, and he's an ensign, and he's completing his... Starfleet Academy. I don't know where he is in Starfleet Academy.
The old Enterprise didn't work.
What is that? What does she say? This is Dr. Crusher.
Okay, this is Dr. Crusher. I announce it. So stupid.
You have your own.
The formula from the old Enterprise didn't work.
So it didn't work.
So Dr. Crusher is famous for never knowing the solution to any problem, and also... none of her tools work. Every disease that comes on board, she's like, I've never seen anything like it. And it props to Gates McFadden for selling that like 25 times because she had to almost every episode be just in the dark about everything because they were so lazy about writing medical stuff. They didn't want
to
like...
Right. Have to explain it. Yeah.
There were so many easier ways to get around it.
Tell me something. You do realize that, don't you?
I have just Crusher files.
She's got Crusher files. If you're trying to come at Veronica for any reason.
I got Crusher
files. She's got Crusher files. So you might be just like, you know, hey, Veronica, give me all your money. She's like, oh, I'm going to pull out my phone.
I got Crusher
and files. And play these sound clips that may or may not have anything to do with what you're talking about. So
I just don't know the sound clips
now,
yet.
And so she left the show. Because Gates McFadden left the show because she was frustrated with the shitty plot lines.
Wow.
And another actress did too in the first season. So they replaced her momentarily with this other doctor, Dr. Pulaski, who does a great job acting as though a person who was impregnated 11 hours ago and is now giving birth is fine.
She does do a great job.
Play a little bit of that scene.
You were aware of him. Is he
Data's
aware of
grilling
you? When does that awareness begin?
Troy.
It's happening.
How does it feel?
Data.
Yes?
Now.
Doctor.
Such a like father of the bride comedy moment.
Baby is eager to make his appearance.
Yeah, that like, should worry you.
Do you want something for the pain?
Why is she acting
no
like a
experience?
Like a doula? Like
I know. No pain. None. No. None at all.
So that's gross because, okay, stop. That means that instead of, like, going through labor pains on screen and having, like,
right.
the reaction, she just has to, like, kind of moan.
And kind of orgasm.
And have an orgasm.
Right.
I mean, that is, like,
while
so Dr. fucked up.
While Dr. Riker. While Dr. Riker
well, all these people
looks
are watching
at her.
Like,
yeah, her ex.
It's so pervy.
Her
it's
ex.
It's really pervy.
Have your security men stand back. I understand the importance of having you here. But keep out from underfoot.
I'm suddenly a doula. Keep out from underfoot. This is women's stuff. 137. I'm so annoyed on her behalf that she had to act this scene out. So I'm not in pain, and they're watching me. And they're like, yep, that's exactly what we want. But you're sweating. Like with sex.
Baby's doing one.
It is so sexual. It's crazy.
So fucking sexual. Ew. And then Riker's
like
just like
watching,
leering at her. And Data's like, I don't know what to do.
There it is.
Enormous satisfaction.
He's a grown man in a business suit.
Has a little briefcase.
I'm late for work.
Why is
Mom,
Worf,
where's my lunch?
Why is Worf so like zoom in? Like, what is this like?
That's him having a reaction of some kind. And then this is the most I
Why
the most
is this music happening?
Me.
Shouldn't it be like danger music?
Wait, right. Exactly.
I love this chair though. I kind of want to work in my computer like that.
I know, me too.
With like my legs open.
It's like kind of a gynecology chair, but not
Wait,
really.
That's a good boy.
This is my favorite part. When she tells the security officers...
That boy's got some features.
...that it's okay.
Oh, my. He's beautiful.
Ugh. Make sure no one has any dialogue. The scripts must have been 2 pages long.
Are easy births the norm for betazoids?
Not according to my mother.
Ha 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 ha! Everything's normal.
You can come in the rest of the way now.
That is an alien baby that she just dated.
She's about to say it. God damn.
No threat, Lieutenant. Here. You and your men can relax. It's just a baby.
No, it is not.
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 No, it's not just a baby. Why? It's so odd.
It's just a baby.
You barbarian.
It sounds like she's saying burp-barian.
You burp-barian.
That's a person who burps too much.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to stop playing with
a this. A burp-barian.
But it's true that that's like...
No?
Why did they turn... Sorry, I went into my...
That's funny. Over. No, I wanted you to.
Why did they turn into like this maternity scene? It's, what is this? What
and
is it, this
the
full
music's
house?
So sweet.
Is it like
sweet?
They have a bay house. Of scripts where they're like, okay, now we need a maternity scene. Do we have one of those like sitting around and then they just patch it in, you know, to the rest of the script?
Like a tacky okay. TV show, 80s yeah. like music. Like of the
yeah.
that warm
like
family
an
moment.
Special. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, wrote Somebody Gave Birth on Family Ties. You want to just pop that in, change the names? It'd be funny if they just had different names change for this names. Part of it. It was the stupidest thing.
And like, they should, I would make it complete tension music.
Yeah.
And everyone's yeah, just
dun-dun,
or this like quiet, that. Like tense moment where it's like, she's
like
going
that.
Through something if yeah. I'm gonna do a pregnancy thing
yeah
like just do it entirely different where it's like actually real 36 hours she just gestated this
yeah I, even if they're trying to establish that she has an emotional bond with this baby which whatever like if you had a baby this quickly maybe there's some sort of magical component to it where she's betazoid and then the baby
I
is also
like,
betazoid and they have
this
some sort
thing
of
out
you know yeah, I'd be like, get this out of me. And then it would give, I'd give birth and I'd be like, whoa, you know, like, okay, I love it. What is going on? You know, I wouldn't be just like, wow, yay.
I would not say anything.
Yeah.
She didn't even say anything. She was just like,
she was
mm-hmm.
like,
this is normal.
And that's it. And then she like takes him to preschool. It's crazy.
She does. She's like, gotta drop him off at preschool for an hour.
Where there are puppies.
He's gonna be 5 for an hour, so I gotta bring him to preschool. I don't want to be irresponsible.
What are you guys doing today? Oh, we're going an hour in each grade.
He's gonna be in college next week, so I want to make sure he has the best pre-education. It's the stupidest
thing. Like, it's and they just come in and knock and be like, hi, Ian. How are you? Checking in. And it's like...
And he's like, hello. Don't be afraid.
When are you
going
to reveal your plot?
Put that fetus in a brick.
I came by to see the baby. I got a gift. I want to see when he's going to reveal his alien plot.
And he did at the end. And what was it? It was just like, I want to see what it's like.
Yeah. I wanted to see...
I want to like get it.
And no one's like...
Furious.
Oh, you don't do that.
Yeah,
you don't
I would have been
do
like
that.
Oh, cool. So you impregnated me, created an emotional bond with me.
That will last
and now
a trauma
and now
that will
I love you
lifetime.
Like a mother would love a child because I'm fucking normal. And now you're going to peace? No, you're staying here. I don't care if this disease gets out. You're going to watch us all die, you piece of shit. I would have been so fucking mad. I am mad.
I would have been like.
Safe to say I am mad.
You don't, she looks mad.
I Guys, am mad.
She looks mad.
Look at my face.
Safe to say.
Ignore. Don't.
She just like. She's like. He sends his regards. And it's like,
he sends his
regards. What regards? That bitch came in the middle of the night and it like use your body yeah. to, I don't know what.
Yeah, what regards really, are you talking about?
It'd be great if they had a baby shower.
That baby gave no regards.
Or like they kept having to have birthday parties every 2 hours.
And did that like, start?
And she gets mad. She's like,
that's not far off
Captain
from what
Picard,
they did in this
I didn't
episode.
See yeah. you at Ian's 5th birthday party. Well, I was at the 4th birthday party, which
An
was
hour
2
ago.
Hours ago. So, you
like,
know. Okay, but he's never going to be 5 again. So I guess you're not a good uncle.
And
is
you
that
can
what
tell,
you want?
I feel like you can tell that.
She's already preparing for this.
Sir Patrick Stewart is like. All right.
Yeah,
I know.
Everyone is
the entire time.
T-
no, but Patrick Stewart, like, he's so good at like when you see when he doesn't like an episode or something mm-hmm. that's happening because he's like, huh.
He once
he acts like I guess
I'll go along with this. He once said that they got the cast like did this bit where they
and I feel like this is like a
wait,
good
you
example
know Sir Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we buried the lead big time because this is really, I'm just realizing this now.
I just realized that.
Give you some.
It's not about that.
It should be complimentary to you because we have you on not because of your connection.
That's right. That's right.
We didn't
well,
even
thank
remember
you.
It.
We really
thank
actually
you.
Just so thought of it. Weird. Okay.
But he would say that they would do this bit where they'd be like, okay, give me a D5. And that's like a facial expression. So they would like, and here's A6. Here's A7.
Hilarious.
It's so funny. But I feel like they're like all doing that.
Yeah. If there were so many shots, like if I was on a TV show that so many times they're like, we're going to punch to you. Just react to this.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
of course
exactly.
I would have my fucking default faces.
Exactly.
It's just like.
Give me a J22.
Like, yeah. Give me an A7. Yeah. What is that? Two ships and you try to sink.
Right.
Each other's ship.
Oh, battleship.
Yeah. Battleship. Yeah. You're like kind
and
of
Whoopi
a board
Goldberg's
of that
in this
faces.
Too.
And so Guinan.
This is the first time that Guinan, the character, line. Appears. She's only a 10 forward. Unfortunately, she's
what
like tied up. 10 forward is the bar.
Oh.
So it's the first time we see a shuttlecraft. This is the first time we see, or like the way they presented it. This is the first time we see 10 forward, which is a bar, and then yeah. It stays the rest of the time. This was not in season one.
Yeah.
So and it's the first time we see Guinan, who ends up being one of these like very mystical, kind of like amazing characters that shows up every now and then.
Yeah. Right. Another insanely good actor that they're adding to this show.
Yes. Thankfully.
And then not writing for them.
And then Crusher is an ensign. He used to be just like in the helm. He's like at the bridge. He used to be kind of on and off the bridge because he's a child. And highly disrespected for it, even though he's one of the smartest people in the entire ship.
He saved them 5 times in the first season.
And then they were still like, get out, shut up. And he's like, it's like, why don't you treat him as if he was just your, you know, he clearly has your level.
Yeah,
He's just like a shorter life. He's lived shorter than you. That's the only difference.
And it never shows.
He
never is immature in any way.
Which
just
is
love him,
which we defended like it's a little bit weirdly like advanced for its time period how this show points out how we just don't pay attention to kids sometimes and they are a part of our society,
right?
Especially since we treat them like, if we treat them like part of our society, they will feel that responsibility from early on.
Yeah, but I feel like we now treat them like too much of a part of our society.
I feel like we pander to them. That's different.
Oh, okay,
but we don't say like here's
we'll treat them like adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like they will be part of this society. They will be having to take decisions. They should know how money and the government works. They should know certain things. We're just like pandering to our babies. I don't know. I feel like maybe I would be like a weird mother. That's kind of something about Judaism that I like because Jewish kids should be, a woman should be completely have completed her Jewish education entirely by age 12 and the boys by age 13. I think now it's 13. In modern world, it's 13 for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Which means women should read and write, even in Bible period, like Jewish women have always like written and read because it's encouraged because that's what it's supposed to be. So children have this responsibility of like being completely literate in one thing. At age 13 they have to be like almost like professional Jews, and that's a lot of reading. And I like that encouragement of being like you have to know all this now.
Yeah.
Besides be good in school and all
right.
that.
I love that.
Yeah, I really do. And I feel like Wesley is kind of that person.
Yeah.
But people, even though it's like 200 years or 400 years in the future, they're like, meh, shut up.
Yeah,
is
a lot
Wesley
of ways we
Crusher?
Go backwards.
Is Wesley Crusher?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Is Wesley Crusher? Is Wesley Crusher?
What are you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
I just know they keep calling him Crusher, and I'm just making sure that's the same.
Oh, okay.
Well,
all right. I thought you were having a mild stroke.
The previous doctor, Pulaski. The previous doctor, Dr. Crusher, is his mother.
Right.
And she left, and he stayed. So it was the debate whether he was going to stay or not, but he
stayed. And then at the end, everyone decides to raise him.
to raise him as a...
In the weirdest.
I know. It's the weirdest scene. It's like a weirdest, teasy kind of...
Also, it's like a weird parallel to Troy, like, raising this, like, baby. Yeah, it's, like, I know. Strange. I don't know. I don't know about this child. Episode. So,
let's hear a little bit from Wesley now, because I have a scene queued up of Wesley and Guinan in 10 Forward. This is the first...
I love this scene.
This is the first one-on-one with Guinan scene where she really shines.
Can I get you something? No, nothing. I just like to stand here.
So it's sensitive.
Beautiful. Which is good. Positive.
Yeah. How about a nice cup of Meruvian tea? No, nothing. Thank you. You'll be leaving soon.
Aww. I like the graphics. They have more money for them.
They do.
Wee.
I'd be like, wow.
I know, me too. I'd be like, how are you not vomiting?
See, they change the light.
The sun goes down.
I love it.
What do you see when you look out there?
Space.
Duh.
The Lorenzi cluster.
Are you still here? Arnab.
Basically, that's what he's saying. Oh, space.
Yeah.
It's not what I mean. I mean, when you look out there, don't you see your future?
What?
I love her.
It'll still be there.
What?
What? She's like, what?
What about a cup of nectar direct from Prometheus? No, nothing.
Prometheus is that movie where
that's the third time you've asked me. That's what I'm expected to do. Don't you always do what's expected? I try. Even if it's not what you really want.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the tea. Drove it home. Okay, it's so you've lesson. Been saying
sometimes
this
it's
whole
more
time.
Important to consider others before yourself. Yes.
But what will you say?
But sometimes the game is to know when to consider yourself before others.
Oh.
Give yourself permission to be selfish.
Never.
No, can't do it. No. Never. No. No. Never gonna do it. No. Not me. Not this little butt.
Never gonna do it. 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 Never gonna do it.
I'll completely be selfish.
Never gonna do it. Never gonna do it.
I won't ever think of myself before others.
Never gonna do it.
Never gonna do it. Never gonna do it. Never gonna do it. Never gonna do it. Whoop, 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 whoop. If I thought of myself ever, I would kill myself. If anyone needed something,
yoink.
Let it roll.
I guess
let
I don't
Alice
know the rest.
Go. Let her do it.
It immediately goes to suicide.
I would kill myself if I ever had to put someone's feelings below my own. Everyone's like in the studio, like, are you sure this is...
We're all just looking at Alice,
and this
you waiting for it to finish.
Part of
and
the
you want
show?
This to be the single.
So that was a good scene.
Yeah, I love that they have more budget for things.
Me too.
I love it. Especially like a new cast member and shit.
Yeah, man.
So they slapped this like new doctor into our lives and...
Slapped her into our lives. I love that
it's
phrase.
Not cool.
It's not cool.
It's not cool because she's like... I wish, like, that's another, like, writing thing, and it's not the actor's fault, but, like, could they, if she's going to be like that with Data, couldn't she be like that with a fucking baby and be like, alien? Why does she have to go, like,
it's
doula?
Sucks.
Like,
it sucks so much.
Yeah, like,
because
I've written a consistent one character that's like, I hate this.
I like a female character that's like a crusty old sea captain in a way, and she's like, I don't know, talk to androids or whatever, but, like, why...
Especially
a
female.
She shouldn't be... Yeah, she'd be like, listen, Troy.
But she's not
don't
consistent.
Don't get attached. Take it away right
exactly.
away.
That would be cool.
We don't know what it is. And she's like, I want to be with my baby.
And then she's like,
that's
oh,
an all
he's
artificial,
beautiful.
Or like, like figure out what it is
moment.
That's going
what?
On medically speaking or neurologically speaking with Troy that's making her so attached. Is she getting all the regular hormonal...
No scan of this baby whatsoever.
No.
No. Do.
I
nothing.
Can see that it's just a baby. Why would I scan it? I see with my eyes. I don't need a weird visor thing. I'm
but
an old
even,
school
But even
doctor.
In the real world, we scan our babies.
Well, yeah, I don't exactly. do it on my ship. I don't scan babies. I don't touch androids. I'm sorry if that makes me unqualified.
What?
Oh, yeah, it
I'm
actually
sorry.
Does make you unqualified.
Well, I'll take it. I'll take any criticism you levy at me, but I'm still here, aren't I? Am I here? I'm tired.
She's in the airline.
She fell asleep.
I need a sandwich. Get me out of this.
She fell asleep. Let her just walk back. Side.
Yeah. I'm tired and I'm going to take a nap right here. That's right. While standing.
And fell asleep again. It's like an animatron. That's Dr. Pulaski for you. It's weird. I don't know why. Like, yeah, you're right. We do scan our babies now.
Soundbite.
What?
Soundbite.
Women be scanning.
We do scan our babies. We do. And then she's like, just hold it. What if that baby stabs you in the throat?
I would love it.
What if? Shouldn't you think that way? Like, this baby wasn't here 36 hours ago.
Yeah.
There was no conception.
No.
So,
and
like...
And we know it's got a little dagger.
I like how she's telling... I like how she
comes with a dagger.
All babies come with a dagger.
My favorite part is when she says to Troy, like, normally the person who would be here with you is the father. Like Troy's going to be like, oh, that makes sense. You know,
right.
Like, yeah, duh.
Right.
Everyone's fucking knows that. 400 years into the future, we're still with this bullshit.
I know.
Like, what about the other mother?
She's
or
kind of like
just no one.
Low key shading
care.
Her. Yeah. But since we don't know who the father is, and you say you don't either, which
and
is
you say you're not a whore.
Kind of fucked up, right? Right as she's going into labor. Let's just admit that it's kind of fucked up before I help you with this. Can we? Okay.
There's no father. So you want to
so
sit
weird.
Here? You wanna...
Let's see. Let me hand this to the father. Oh, there isn't one. Okay.
Honey.
She's so bitchy.
That's so bad. Man, I don't remember the rest of season two. I remember I only remember the season finale of season two, which is so bad. And then it jumps to like the best episodes ever.
Season three, it gets better. So would you consider coming back for season three? If we... What will we have to do, Mary, to get you back in this room?
I mean, just your boyfriend's reaction.
Break the mics more.
Wasn't your boyfriend's reaction like,
hey,
enough?
What if we get a fourth microphone and you and Matt could come on together? You don't like doing things with him.
No.
I know. I've seen you together.
No.
It doesn't work.
I would love to do that. I would love to come back for season three.
Okay, great.
Look, I'd love to.
Okay.
With Matt, without Matt.
Okay.
If alone, Matt came a woman up, alone can come.
Are a woman you, alone.
You're like Pulaski right now. She's like, you know, usually for season three,
usually
the husband
season
is
three,
right
the
next
husband
to,
joins
right
the
next
woman.
To the woman. So
yeah, we usually in season three.
Women
usually
don't just come
for season three. Usually for a season, we
they don't just
yet.
Come alone.
For a season we haven't done yet of television, the husband comes. So he accompanies
so
the wife.
He always accompanies the wife.
Usually, that's the customary.
That's how
mostly.
It happens. Yeah, so mostly it happens like that.
Mostly.
We've enjoyed having you. Do you have anything to? Do you want to wrap up?
Yeah. Do you have any like thoughts on any more thoughts?
I mean, any
hopefully that
we left out and then maybe you wanted to get out there.
No, I mean, I feel like we covered everything that I wanted to talk about. Yeah.
What? Anything else Patrick Stewart said to you about his experience on STNG?
That was the main thing. That was the one thing that
the bits
stuck, the bit.
I really love that.
But Brett Spiner was. Mm-hmm. I met him too.
Really?
And it was very fun to watch that
the two
old
of them.
Friendship. Yeah.
It's I think that's a huge testament to why
this
show is successful.
Like, were they like buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
they were,
so nice.
They were very
because
sweet with each other.
They're really good friends.
I think the reason the this show and I think actually the reason this show was on the air for so long and wasn't canceled, even though there was a lot of problems and low budget and bad writing for some of the first episodes, like was
some
because this cast loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like they really are a family who loved each other a lot. And mm. and they you see it now and they'll you that's why they all come back for the
tell.
You know the cons and everything because they love being around each other. They really
yeah.
are they relate to each other and they're really grateful for the experience. And I do feel like that comes across completely, you know, on through the screen. And I think that
yeah
so it's good to
it's very special.
It is. And it's good special. To have special things.
I want
to
point out that the maternity clothes were really fab. I mean,
yeah, that's
they
true.
Were kind of like.
Oh, yeah, the robes. And
they were
the,
like, yeah.
They were really nice.
It's, I love that I she was sheet, like, good thing I have these maternity clothes.
Good thing.
At the ready.
Well, maybe she went to the mall.
I know.
But
there's
we all
a,
kind of
there's
do,
a mall
right?
on the show.
Yeah.
I have a whole maternity
have a
section.
Is that, are you making an announcement?
And that's why I'm so thrilled to say I have maternity clothes. That's my announcement.
I'm pregnant with a food baby. Ugh.
Large.
Large.
Large clothes. I got large clothes too. Large in the belly. Like,
yeah, yeah. Tees. I have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yep. For when I'm thick pants.
Feeling less than.
And I love now. This is the first time we see Riker's beard, and it will never go away. Mm. It'll never go away.
Oh, that's the rest true. Of times that, yeah.
He had a beard, and Troy's hair is like on the loose. So, and then it starts like a good saga of like Troy's hair. So, there's true. A lot of really cool, interesting things that we were not enjoying on season one that now
we get to enjoy.
I've finally started. I'm having a déjà vu.
The beard is part of the budget. They're now we have a bigger budget, so you can have a beard.
They order the most expensive Chinese biotin.
They call his reps and said, good news.
Good news.
We have budget.
We can pay for that beard.
We got the beard money. So
we got the beard budge.
Stop fucking calling.
I saw a meme that was like, that I posted on my Instagram that said, set beard to stun.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I really love it.
Yeah. Sexually attracted to Riker.
Just like follow me on Instagram, guys.
Mary, where can people find you?
Look, you can find me whenever you look up to the stars.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Dream.
I don't want that. I'd like you to stay on Earth.
Well,
with me.
You can find me on Twitter at mholland85, and I'm on Instagram at maryhollandays, and I perform at UCB.
When's your next year, Mary?
My next year is wait, oh, no. When does this
blank calendar for ages? Oh shit.
I don't know.
This show will air on Monday. No, Tuesday. No. 2015.
What in the past?
Are you
this
okay?
Will air in the past?
I don't know why, but it says I just got an alert. It says it's going to air in the past. 2 weeks from now.
Okay. There will be some Wild Horses shows coming up at UCB and at Largo in Feb that you can check out, but also I'm at UCB every Friday, Saturday, Sunday doing...
Go see her.
KB, doing ASCAP.
And sometimes I'm there too. Me. So,
But mostly come to see me.
Come... Okay, well.
But mostly. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Hi.
I just have a question.
Okay,
is this
sure.
the Star Trek Treks in the City podcast with Mary Holland?
Oh, yes, actually. That's so funny.
I was wondering, when I go to see UCB shows, I don't go?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, when I go to see a show at UCB on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Alice Wetterland is there, am I going to see you more than her? Or am I going to see both of you equally? Or
I'm
am I going to see
sorry,
her
the
more?
Airlock is open.
I oh, no. Don't go near it. Who am I going to see most?
Probably Mary Holland.
It would be Mary Holland?
I think it would be Mary Holland.
I asked about who I'd see, and it's Mary. Okay. Thanks for making the call.
Oh, God.
So, this has gone off the rails.
But that's where you can find me. That's where you can find me.
And you'd know what off the rails
you
looks like.
You would know.
Thank you, Mary. I love you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
I love you.
You are my kind friend, my patient heart.
My patient heart. So I love her with my patient heart.
Your kind heart, your hopeful eyes, your patient heart.
All right. See you next week, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.